We're going to start out with a fun song. If you want to stand and try it with us, you're welcome to. Otherwise, we're going to start with a fun song, okay? The shepherds came to see the baby. Stood by a mother's side in the manger, inside a manger. Oh, what a glorious night! Oh, what a glorious night! I hear the angels singing, hallelujah! Let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come. Sing it out. Right there, and they just didn't come out. We want to welcome you tonight. I know there's not a lot of us here tonight, but we're here for the right reason. Amen? We're here to worship the newborn King, to celebrate his coming to earth. Amen. Hark the herald. The angels sing.
Hark the herald. Angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy. Sinners reconciled, joyful all ye nations rise, joy the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn
oh. Of our candles.
Is it on?
Yes, it is.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him.
In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world.
And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Christ is born. Christ is born. God taking on humanity has brought light into the darkness. Today we light the Christ candle, the central candle of our wreath and the source of our hope, peace and joy and love.
You bow your heads with me. Jesus, we thank you that you have come, that you are our hope, you are our peace, you are our love, and you are our joy. I thank you that you instill those in us. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would help us with boldness to share them with others. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
It came upon
to make
stars are brightly shining. Amen? Amen.
Let's pray. Father, as we gather this evening in this place, We're mindful of the fact that as your Holy Spirit moves in us and through us, you draw us to a manger scene where a young infant lay, seemingly helpless against the world, and yet at the same time the creator of the world that he was born into. So, Father, as we remember the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the beginning of the victory that he achieved, Father, we're just grateful that you are with us and that you are glorified through us. And, Father, we just lift this up. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen, amen. All right. Thanks, guys. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. All right. Now, in many families, there is a tradition of gathering around a Christmas tree, a fireplace, kitchen counter, wherever the food is at, and spending the time to remember the story that the holiday is based on. And for many people, they'll turn to an epic poem written by C. Clement Moore in the 1800s. He was actually, by the way, I believe he was a Methodist pastor, and he was afraid to publish his little poem that began "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," because in his mind it was trivial. It wasn't of deep spiritual matters, and yet that poem has shaped our popular folklore of Christmas for decades, centuries almost. But today we don't gather to hear that story. We don't gather to hear a wonderfully written epic poem about a man in a jolly red suit. But if we could, just for a little bit, I would like us to kind of imagine that this is the feeling that we have of we're gathering around the place where our loved ones are. And soon I'm sure many of us will be unwrapping presents and enjoying Christmas meals and goodies. And I think we have some chocolate-covered popcorn somewhere that my children don't know about that may or may not survive the night. But before we get to all that, let's gather around Dad's armchair, if we will, because our Father in Heaven has written an amazing story. And it's a story that we founded this celebration on. And it's the story that brings light and hope to the world and to eternity. So kind of settle in, imagine, if you will, our Father in Heaven's armchair as we gather around to hear the old, old story. It goes like this. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. And so Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, for there was no room for them in the inn. By the way, my friends, I love how many sermons have been preached about how we should not be like the innkeeper. I love that because there's not actually an innkeeper mentioned in Scripture. But the story continues, and it says that there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace on men to whom his favor rests." Now, the story, of course, goes on from there, but I just wanted us to pause just for a moment as we're in this mindset of just gathering around our Father in Heaven's armchair to hear the story. and just to think on a few brief things about the birth of our Savior. I know I mentioned it this morning, but I want to mention it again, that in so many ways, by the world around him, the birth of the Savior was almost unnoticed. He wasn't anywhere. He didn't have a midwife. He didn't have a hospital. He didn't even have a roof over his head. He was born in a stable. And if you're unfamiliar with it, the stable that they're talking about was most likely a cave outside of the area of Bethlehem. And Bethlehem was known, by the way, for giving a lot of Passover lambs. And a Passover lamb was an important thing for the Jewish society. It was a sacrifice that would be given that it could not have any broken bones or any bruises or any deformities or any marks. And so whenever one of those precious little lambs was born that would qualify for the sacrifice, oftentimes the shepherds would take that lamb and there was a special manger, a special feeding trough that they would literally carve into the wall of a cave, which that's tough. Try it sometime. And so just to keep the lamb safe, they would put that newborn baby lamb up in the manger just so it wouldn't get stepped on and wouldn't be ruined, so that it would be an appropriate sacrifice. And so here is the Savior of the world, born into a very lowly, smelly, dirty place. And his mother wraps him, like is the tradition, swaddles him in little cloths and places him in the same place where the sacrificial lambs would be placed. And yet, there was very little trumpet. Very little fanfare. The Jewish leaders, the king, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, those who had been waiting for hundreds of years for the Messiah to be born, paid no notice to this little child born in a stable. And I think that that's okay, because Jesus did not come the first time to arrive with trumpets and fanfare. In fact, he actually said later in his life, in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And so I think it's okay that the Savior of the world was born into a very humble, very small place, almost unnoticed. Because his mission was simple. He came to serve the ones that were gathered around him. He came for the shepherds. He came for the wise men. He came for the teachers of the law and the Pharisees to save them from sin and death and hell, and to serve them with his own life. And so it's okay. He was born in a very, very simple way. But I also love this story because even though the world that Jesus created missed his arrival in so many ways, it was as if the heavenly host couldn't help it. They couldn't help but proclaim that the Savior was born. And so to a small group of blue-collar, redneck shepherds up on the hill, keeping eye on their flocks, the spectacular sight of a glorified angel appears in heaven. And I love it because the angel doesn't just say, "Guess what's happened?" The angel comes and brings a message. And it's an important message for us. It says, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." My friends, that's the message. That's the hope that we cling to, that a Savior has been born. And so for the things in this life that weigh on us, the things in this life that can pull us away from the love of the Father, our sin, our brokenness, and all of those things, this little tiny child was born so that they can be taken away, so that we could be with his Father in heaven. I want to read to you guys just for a minute a little bit more of the message, the mission that Jesus came to accomplish. And it says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, "All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, who gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them." And he has committed us to the same message of reconciliation. That's the message, my friend, is that when Jesus came, our sins don't count against us anymore. And we have the opportunity to share that message because it says, we therefore are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so when this angel shows up and he breaks open the heavens and he declares a Savior has been born, the simplest message, the simplest way I know how to say what it is that Jesus came to accomplish is this: Jesus came to die my death so that I could live his life and live it for all eternity. So the message had to go out. And since the humans missed it, the angels had to step in and deliver the message to some of the lowest, most ordinary people, just shepherds. But then, of course, my friends, I need you to catch this. Because when the message of salvation goes out, when we are told that there is a Savior who will liberate us from the bondages of sin and death, that there's the hope of everlasting life and the newness of relationship with the Father, we can't just sit by and go, oh, that's nice. Thanks for sharing. No, the angels, I'm afraid, modeled for us the response that we're supposed to have. Because it wasn't just one angel delivering a message. As soon as the message was delivered that a Savior had been born, the great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. You see, my friends, the response that we are to have to the message of salvation is worship. The response that we have to the birth of Jesus Christ is to give him glory, to lift his name high. And so I just invite you this Christmas season, as we gather and as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the message of the Savior, let's lift his name high tonight, tomorrow, and every day of 2018 to celebrate who Jesus Christ is. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise. We thank you for the message of the angel that told us that the Savior has been born, that he is Christ the Lord. So, Father, we love you, we praise you, we worship the name of Jesus Christ. We bow our knees before him so that on this silent night, Father, that we can hear the voice of your Son calling us, come home and enjoy the inheritance. So, Father, we love you and we praise you and we lift high the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Well, my friends, in just a moment, as is our custom, we'll dim the lights and we'll just invite you to sing with us Silent Night. And if you have your candle, if you turn to bottom, it'll turn on. And I love the story of Silent Night. In case you didn't know it, it was a German priest, a German pastor, who looked down over his city one night and saw the snow falling, and it was soon to be Christmas. And he composed a poem, Silent Night, Holy Night. But on Christmas Eve, the organ in their church went out. And I don't know what it takes to fix an organ. But a friend of his grabbed a guitar. Gotta love Silent Nights. A friend of his grabbed a guitar, started strumming some chords, and it became the song that we now celebrate as Silent Night. So I just invite you, stand where you are, we'll dim the lights and just enjoy this wonderful Christmas carol. do church like this more often. Let's pray. Father, as we go from this place, we go in the power of your Spirit, knowing the hope that we have because Jesus Christ was born into this world. So, Father, we ask that you go ahead of us to our family celebrations, to the opening of presents, to the celebrations that we will have and the food we will enjoy. We know that they are all gifts from you. And, Father, keep us centered on the greatest gift that you gave, that you so loved the world, that you gave your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, Amen. My friend.